May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1099. Jesus, omnipotent to save, exalted Prince of Grace, light, life and love thou dost bestow on men of vilest race. 1099.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word From the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name for evermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblage of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me see it and be ashamed. Lord, because thou... I'll start again. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. Let us pray. Almighty, most holy, 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 Lord God, ever merciful, ever gracious, unchanging, full of grace and truth, full of glory, the glory of salvation, the glory of thy being. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, oh dear, grant us now the power of the Holy Ghost to fall down in our spirits before the Lamb in the midst of the throne, though we may not view it and see it with the natural eye. May our soul be aware of the glory of the Lamb in salvation. Do grant from our hearts that outreaching of the Holy Ghost, that we may worship Thee in a sweet, precious knowledge of Thee. We may be favored to do so this day. And those, Lord, that may gather who know thee not, and come in a way of formality and custom, grant them an earnest appetite for the salvation of their soul, so necessary, so vital. Eternity, so vast, that they may be awakened and they may realize how awful to know the Son of God to pass them by. But Lord, bless the seekers, those before thee who are crying day and night, those who do weep after thee, those who do discover continuously, increasingly, the corruption of their soul and the ruin of their life and the wasted time of their years. Oh dear, grant they may find, do reveal thyself in the letters of the gospel. May the word of the gospel become a living reality and a scene to their soul of salvation. Lord, do establish us in that rock, the water from the rock, the fountain is opened, the blood and the water. Give us that grace continually, daily, to hide under the shadow of thy wing, thy promise, thy word, the tremendous grace of the cross of Christ, and under the blood of sprinkling. Oh, do help us to worship thee this day in spirit and truth. Let our words be few. May our hearts be enlarged, and may our spirits be sweetly softened and on fire in the love of God. We do come today, as we have to, bearing our own reproach, but praying we may discover continually that we are bearing thy reproach, for thou hast borne thy people's reproach. Oh, may we know the wonders of reconciliation in Christ Jesus. We come confessing those sins that we what plague thou hast suffered for them. Help us to forsake them wholly, looking unto thee. Blessed Holy Ghost, be due upon the word of grace this day, that the glory of the Father in his electing, redeeming love may be greatly exalted in his sovereign love toward us as individuals through the glorious person of our covenant head. Oh, that souls may know that Jesus is my husband, Jesus is my Redeemer, Jesus is my King, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my God. Bless this house of prayer, bless the dear deacons, our friends. Be gracious unto them. May they know thee to be their helper. Bless the church, the congregation. Let thy work appear in their midst. May there be those constrained to take up their cross and follow thee, thy cross. May they bear thy cross following thee as Simon of Cyrene. Remember aged friends, be very near them in the weakness of the flesh, strengthen them mightily in the inner man. May they rejoice in thy salvation. Remember the families that are bereaved. Be very gracious unto them. O Lord, the realities of the brevity of time, may it turn many to thee to seek thy face. Comfort all that mourn. Be with them. Grant them those sweet consolations and the visits of thy face and hearing thy voice. Lord, remember all in middle life in the heat of the day. Bring them under the banner of thy love. Remember our young people going forth in life. May thy tender fear be in their hearts. While young, call them by grace. Go before them in business and study and prosper. But Lord, may they know thee as their Lord, their God. Bless the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Strengthen parents. Undertake for those and comfort all that have suffered loss in these recent weeks. Undertake for them and comfort their souls. Bless the Sunday school. May thy word follow our young people. Remember those in the Bethesda homes, one in the Bethesda home we know of. Be with her in a lonely pathway. Bless her. Do remember Zion. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. Bless the ministry here. Send labourers into the vineyard. Remember thy servants unable to preach now, laid aside in affliction. God, be merciful to them and bless them. Remember thy one spiritual Israel in this land. Return in power to us as a group of churches. Let there be power in the gospel by the Holy Ghost. Remember the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in deprivation, poverty, affliction, war, persecution, genocide, make ways of escape. Remember us in the nation, Lord, have mercy on England. We live in most solemn, treacherous times. Open the eyes of our leaders, They may be ashamed. Order, order, Lord, the councils of state. Overturn the treachery in our midst. And raise up leaders of integrity who will stand firmly, fearless for what is right. But oh, send forth the gospel, raise up those who blow the trumpet out of Zion. Turn us again to thee, O God of hosts. Have mercy on England. Thank thee for our Queen and her stability. Undertake for us on the throne when she is gone. Lord, hear prayer for the nation. And undertake for thy remnant's sake. We will be very mindful, Lord, of all thy kindness and mercies. Abundance of supply helps by the way, preservation. Lord, above all, the gospel, those spiritual mercies. The throne of grace, the word of God, our great high priest, thy dying, thy rising, the glory of thy Godhead and power toward thy loved ones, thy precious sin-atoning blood. May we truly worship thee this day in spirit and truth. Prepare us for thy will. Prepare us for the end of the journey. Prepare us the unknown paths of life. Prepare us to die. Lord Jesus, come. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Grant healing, restoring mercies. May all trials, all sufferings, all afflictions, all loss be sanctified unto us for our eternal good. Hear the cries of thy people this day, Lord. They ascend up to thee. May they plead the name of Jesus, that incense in their prayers, the fullness of the Lamb of God, full of compassion, a present help in trouble. Do hear prayer, send answers, O Emmanuel, great God of heaven. Send answers of peace and compassion, we humbly ask. Now help us to reverence thy name at all times. Oh, leave us not to utter deception. Leave us not to truck with eternity. O Lord, we want living realities. There is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And here we rush, here we come, in necessity. May we prove in due time to have been drawn by thy love and by thy grace unto thy wounded side. So we fall down, come, have compassion on us. Come, Lord Jesus, have compassion on us and bless us. Come, come, come. Amen.
Hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from my love. 1098.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I would draw your attention to the psalm we read, the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Dear David knew these truths by gracious experience, by teaching. What do we know by teaching? What do we know by gracious experience? Is our religion in the head? Is the Lord dealing with us in the journey? We do not know David's earliest beginnings, but as a lad, he was on the hillside, taught of God. That we know of his anointing to be king. We know of the pathway, well, a little of his pathway as revealed in Scripture. The trials, the hopes, the blessings, the victories, a mighty man of valor, but the hatred, the enmity. And in his psalms, and in this psalm, we have his soul experience completely wrapped up in the pathway, and the pathway wrapped up in his soul experience. For dear friend, it is one life, body and soul. The life, the soul will separate from the body at death, but they will be completely reunited gloriously again. The great grace of God toward him. Can you say this morning, the Lord is good? Can you pray with David to him personally, for thou, Lord, art good. Has he dealt with us as we deserve? We can get very peevish, you know. We can get almost angry with the Lord in his dealings with us. But we cannot take on the God of heaven. How good he's been. How he softens the heart. But I want to point to something else. Here David is praying, for thou, Lord, art good. It is connected to the readiness of forgiveness, the readiness of grace according to his divine purpose and love. But what is that connection of readiness to forgive? And to pardon and to cleanse. In the councils of eternity, before the world began, when Adam and Eve so grievously and terribly fell and lost their innocency in God's presence, a covenant promise was made, already sealed in the ages of eternity. What is good about God to you? Friend, can it not be any other than the knowledge of his only begotten Son? And not the knowledge only what the gospel reveals of him being sent and of the Christmas scene and of the miracles and of his preaching and of the Calvary scene and the resurrection. Has your soul received any power in this? Has your soul beheld him? Have you been drawn to him? Have you heard his voice? Has he revealed to your soul that he has suffered for your sin? It's your sin, my sin. The alienation of our mind and heart from him. Love draws us back. Friend, it is a scene of ravaging love, if I may say that rightly, of grace. A dying Lord, one you love. The Lord knows this morning exactly what you think about him and what you feel about him and what your thoughts were yesterday concerning him and all your life. He knows exactly. Soul, is your heart after him? He knows it. He knows you need him. If you need him, he knows you need him. David prays in this psalm, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Full of compassion. A Christ full of compassion. Weeping over the judgment. His soul entering the agonies of the judgment due to us. The sword upon him that some of us here, may it be all of us, escape forever. Escape forever. Never to be brought to be condemned for our sin. Not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. For them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We do walk up, the nature walks after the flesh. The spirit of the man, of the redeemed man, desires to walk after Christ, after the Son of God. To them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after, no condemnation. When the Son of God will come again, he will not be wearing two faces. Glory, love, peace to his people, and terror to the wicked. He only has one face. Full of compassion, full of grace, full of truth, full of mercy, the Lamb slain. So how will he be a king of terrors to those who are lost? Because they realize what they've lost. Their heart will be full of horror to what they've lost and how they've lived and a lost eternity. And the flame of the bottomless pit will take hold in anguish upon them. Who can describe it? They cannot stand before him. They despised him. They rejected him. They loathed him. So, what a mercy if you're not among those. But how do we reject him? Do you put him off? Christ revealed. He knows you're praying for it. He knows you long for it. The glory of his suffering made known unto us. Can you say the Lord is good? No, I'm not setting up a high standard here. I'm not setting up a high standard. Not at all. A little knowledge of the compassion of the Son of God, dying for our sins. If you're a living soul, it'll break your heart. However small the seed, it will make you love Him. Love Him. Cleave to Him. Pray for it. He knows you want it. Keep asking Him. Knock at mercy's door. He's a God full of compassion. For Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, ungracious, waiting to be gracious. Therefore I wait, saith the Lord, that I'll be gracious unto thee. What's He waiting for? We can't keep God waiting. He doesn't wait for anybody. He's absolute. But He's watching His people. He's working in them. And He will have the glory. Remember, the love of God is a glorious, genuine love. It's a real love to His people. He loves them. He loves them. He cares for them. And that love sent His only begotten Son to suffer for them. And the Son of God, knowing what it was, what was before Him, willingly came. That is love. Gracious, gracious. Can you say this morning with David, "For Thou, Lord, art good"? Good, good. I'm not just speaking here of providences, although they are included. The kindness of God. When you think of the institutions of the gospel, they're amazing. You actually pray from wherever you are, toward a throne of grace, to a footstool of mercy, and pray. And one is hearing in heaven, wherever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're in, whatever confession you're making, whatever sorrow, what tears are being borne, what shame covers your face, He hears. You're speaking to the God of heaven, to Him who sits on the throne of grace. He that did suffer, and as Top Lady said, before His Father, spreads His wounded hands. The throne of grace. Also the Word. Friend, the Bible so often lays neglected. But the opening by grace of its pages, the words, the scenes, whether it be in the historical, what is used as the historical part, the kings and so forth, or whether it be the law of Moses, whether it be the Psalms, the spiritual songs, or the prophecies, or the Gospels or epistles, opened up Christ, Christ spoken of. Christ revealed, Christ glorified. Personally, the Word speaking, Christ personally speaking. Has He been good to you? Friend, just to hear His voice once. You're wanted again. You'll never be satisfied with once. Never. But have heard Him once. It's the beginning of days. It's the beginning of days. The beginning of life. The beginning of eternal life. So our text this morning, dear friends, isn't just interesting. We want worship. For Thou, Lord, art good. Personally. Personally to You. I am the Lord that healeth thee. David said, He restored. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God declared the other side of the Red Sea. And David could pray. He restoreth my soul. He does. Christ does personally. He will have your affection. He will have your heart. And the sorrows we bear, dear friends, we can only lay them at our own door for the reason, the purpose of the suffering. God does not cause his people to suffer because he delights in them suffering. It's necessary that we might know what he has suffered for us. What he has suffered. How would you understand the sufferings of Christ except you know the hidings of God's face from your soul and your suffering for your sin and your correction? Or may it lead us to a desire for a deeper understanding of what this glorious Lamb that's now exalted in heaven for us. He's still the same, making intercession. For the Lord, thou, Lord, art good. So it says later in verse 15, for thou art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. You know that, don't you? So long-suffering. He could have arisen immediately and dealt with us, but didn't. He bore impatience with us. Because he loved us, he would not destroy us, but he corrected us. He let us go on in folly perhaps, a wrong way, complete wrong way, and let us go. Then he puts his hand in, and then we see how we've ripened for correction and judgment perhaps. But he deals with us gently. He draws us back. It's not dealt with us as our sins deserve, nor rewarded us according to... Don't be a parrot and just say it. Do you know it? This is the God we want to worship, isn't it? Isn't this the God we want to know? Revealed in his only begotten Son. Long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Plenteous. For thou, Lord, art good. But this connection is with ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Can this be true? Can I ask a question? Do you need forgiveness? Can I ask a second question? Do you need forgiveness more than you've ever needed it in your life? Or are you advanced in faith? Do you need the Lord to be more merciful to you now than you ever needed in your life? Or does it not mean anything to you? We've got to face Jordan, and none of us know how we should come down, whether it be terrible suffering in the body. We know not. It would be wrong to speculate, you know, it's wrong to speculate on these things. You know, that we may seek his covering, his righteousness, his nearness to be with us in preparation for that hour. Ready to forgive. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel to need a forgiveness than I've ever, a greater forgiveness than I've ever needed before. Yet, I don't want to speak too boastfully or personally, but I've known those days when I knew my sins were put away. when I had a little help. I won't go into detail to know it's true. Tokens and evidences of it. Yet you feel the awfulness of your wandering mind. We're saved by grace. Grace. And grace reigns. Grace reigns. He's ready to forgive. And I believe his people prove it when they turn to him with all their heart again, confessing their sins. Friend, confession of sin is a very blessed thing, you know. It will come with weeping, personal weeping, confessing one's sin with Christ in view. Confession of sin stands on its own. Friend, it doesn't mean a lot, does it? It's just parrots talking. It's just an empty prayer. All for the grace, the Spirit to bring forth Christ, to be near, to behold him, to consider him in the lattice of the gospel as we confess our sin. It fills the heart with total melting, childlike simplicity, hating of oneself, loving of him. You know, there your soul is given to him and closes with him by the Holy Ghost. Confession. Confession of our sins. With Jesus in view. Oh, friend, the love of God in pouring the just wrath, the due wrath. Have you got due wrath? Do you know you've got due wrath coming? Just wrath? Or have you been brought up to believe it? It doesn't mean a lot, does it? Friend, when it does begin to mean something, when the Lord deals with us, perhaps in providence, to lay us low and make us pray, what a difference it makes. We realise we're helpless. Do you know what it is to be helpless in grace? You know, rain is free, despite all the cleverness of men and scientific theory, and yes, we can understand the nature of weather and meteorology and so forth, and it's probably, most of it is correct, apart from the theories of global warming, which I don't agree with. But we'll leave that outside. You know, the Lord has covenanted to give seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat and the rain. And you can't command the rain, the showers. You can't command the weather. You can't command the Lord's blessing. Yet as we wait upon the weather, naturally speaking, the seasons, nature waits on the seasons, so we wait on the rain of heaven. And he has promised a latter rain. But you feel so helpless. Or that he would send a shower to my soul. Do you need to be helpless? Or are you not helpless? Full of confidence, full of trust, full of faith. I'm fine. Do you know the Lord? You look at his pathway. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Christ tempted. Christ tempted. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was set at naught, hated. Ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Our helplessness, our sinnership, the wrath due to us. All for Christ to be revealed. Risen, exalted, has put away our sin forever. buried it in the grave forever. Your sin put away. Put away. And as you might feel, nature's defilements rise again sometimes. You've got a precious blood to plead as a token of that certain putting away of sin. May the Holy Ghost seal it on our heart. Can you say this morning, for thou, Lord, art God, good to me. Thou's given me a little hope. I may have spoken several things here. We may not have the same experience, but hoping in Christ, hoping in his name, hoping in his mercy, hoping in his dying. Friend, the Lord hears all your prayers, you know. Your prayers. He hears you pray. What are your prayers? Inquiring after the Calvary viewing scene. The sufferings of Jesus, they mean something to you. Oh, your own burden, your own heart. Oh, the feeling of utter bondage gets hold of your spirit. You can't be released. The darkness that surrounds your tents and your pathway. He hears your cries. He's walked the pathway, but he knows you're going to him. For Christ to be revealed as your Lord and your God. A token. Look back, look back. Those who've known him. There was a reality in it. Something you could not do yourself. You knew you could not reveal. Christ came to you, revealed himself to you in the letters of the gospel. Opened your eyes, gave you living hope. Your soul fed on him then. It will feed again, it must feed again, and will feed again. But all you long for it. But look back. Jesus cries, Lord, increase my faith. Increase it, Lord. Oh, the solemnity of unbelief, but how it surrounds us. But he has been good, hasn't he? He changes not. He changes not. Jesus Christ the same. He must still be this, even though you're not converted. He still means the same to your soul. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, forever. Ready to forgive. He's ready this morning, dear friend, as he is every moment of time. And he makes it known in his appointed time and way. What a forgiveness. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Her sins, which are many, and many, are all forgiven. All forgiven. Friend, it's not just to hear the words. I'm thankful for that. I bless him for that. But to know him who speaks. Friend, it's not just having the word. It's the voice of your beloved speaking. With power into the soul. As the Lord, there are those here who you feel the Lord has spoken and encouraged you. Instructed you and led you on. You may not be able to say you've come forth yet, wholly or fully, but you have been led. But who is it who's speaking? The Son of God, Jesus, one that died, one that shed his blood, now risen, now making intercession. It is he that speaks. It's not just a word. It's not just having words. I'm thankful for it. But oh, may we consider who speaks. Your heart will be on fire, will be weeping and melting in all humility. All humility.
humbling, trusting him. You wouldn't dare move without him. You long for his gracious presence. You fear to lose it. Ready to forgive. And he is ready to forgive. And have you known it? Joel, you know, says, does he not? If I can find it, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. But he says before that about rending your heart and not your garments and turning unto the Lord. I can't quite drop onto it. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. But he tells us to rend our hearts, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. With a reason, with a reason. If the Lord lived you, if you're taught of the Lord, you'll have a reason to be going to him concerning yourself and concerning his grace. When the people went to Jesus on earth, they went to him with a knowledge that he heals, he restores. They wouldn't have gone otherwise. There was a knowledge of his restorations, of his love, of his power, of his healing, of his grace. That's why they went. And you'll be going for the same reason. Your own case, but looking to the provision and the healing that is there. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Can that be said of God? What it means is, he doesn't regret dealing with us, but he grieves for us in our sorrow. He grieves for his people in their sorrow. He loves them so much. He doesn't regret dealing with them. He has to do it. He knows it's done. His purpose, it's absolutely perfect. His dealings are perfect. But he feels for our prayers and our cries. Oh, that we could have a little understanding of that. Because it is true. But now exalted, touched with the sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. In the days of feeble flesh poured out his cries and tears, and in his measure fills afresh what every member bears. A God of love. God is love. He knows what you feel. A God full of compassion, slow to anger, great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And if you look in the Psalms and see in the history of Israel in the wilderness and in their nationhood, in the days of the judges and the kings, how he brought them judgment, how he repented. His soul, we read this in Judges, his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. That is love, you know. But they deserved it, but they repented and they acknowledged. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. I wish we would. I wish we would more. We've got to see it first to acknowledge it. You can't acknowledge something you don't know. Micah also says, who is a God like unto thee? It's a blessed word, you know. Who is a God like unto thee? What a tremendous question. Who is a God like unto thee? that pardoneth iniquity, pardoning it through the sufferings and the death of his only begotten Son. If only we knew more of Christ's death, the awfulness of the garden, the judgment hall and the cross, the horrors that took on his soul, the hiding of his Father's face, the deep mysteries. My dear friend, do you love him? You'll love him for that. You'll love him for that. And you'll cleave to him. It's your hope. It's a hope. A solid ground hope. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Passes by. Think of the glory of the Passover. Are you pleading his blood? Do you plead his name? Do you plead his word? Little hope in Christ. He passes by the judgment. He has borne it. He has borne it. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Someone in trouble this morning. If you're praying to the God of heaven, he's one who delights in mercy. Take heed unto thyself a little. Ask for melting of your own will and mind, that we may be softened to know him. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. You'll never do it yourself. Heavenly influence. That's why God's people are constantly crying out for the Lord to come to them and be with them, because their iniquities cannot be subdued except by the grace, the presence, the love, the working of God in the heart by the Spirit. Then he subdues old nature. Old nature. He subdues it down and gives himself. Grace fills the heart that overcomes all the rubbish. The wonder here is, of course, is the cleansing in it. He will subdue our iniquities. He cleanses, he purges, he washes. His visits wash. His visits give newness of life. His word washes. His word washes as it influences us, as it is upon us and in us. And they will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You may say, how can God never see my sin when he never forgets anything? He sees you in his Son. The perfection of beauty of holiness in his Son. Does God the Father view you in his Son? Does God the Father view you in his Son? Does he behold you in his only begotten Son? All that the Father giveth me, says Jesus, shall come to me. Are you one of the comers? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me will in no wise cast out. No wise. There's certainties here. Friend, does God view you in his Son? You say, I don't know. Friend, what think ye of Christ? Whose Son is he? Do you need him? Do you love him? Do you weep to him? Do you cry to him? He'll never cast you out. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. If you're going to Christ and your soul keeps going and needs him and continually, then you've been given to his Son from all eternity, and he views you in his Son. Ready to forgive. Oh, the Lord sees the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It's a wonderful prophecy. You know this ever before him. And all that the church would be supplicating the dear Redeemer's sufferings before his face, that honours him and glorifies him. Not this self-righteous rubbish. We don't want that, dear friend. There's too much of it. And we've all got it in us. But trouble will purge it from you. You won't see other people's sins. You'll see your own. It's not other people's religion or how they live and walk. Not that we go along with those that don't walk uprightly. We wouldn't. But we've all got it in our heart, you know. It's my sin. It's my sins, not other people's. To know the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and your God. Not to worry about other people, whether he's their Lord and their God. Is he my Lord and my God? Of course, your dear children and so forth and your loved ones, you'll be genuinely concerned for and pray for them. But it's at the end of the day to be with him in glory, a place prepared, ready to forgive. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, what's the mercy you need this morning? Well, perhaps you don't need any, I don't know. Well, if you don't, God's people do. And they need mercy every day. Personal mercy. It's ever such a solemn thing, you know, to be cocky and confident. I've heard people in prayer in public, you know, it makes you tremble. What's the mercy that you need? Plenteous in mercy. Everything. Apostle Paul writes, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, everything, your whole life, your whole pathway, it includes your daily matters, your daily affairs, your family, your health, your loved ones, the unknown way ahead, the future, the mistakes of the past, the reproaches you're bearing for your foolishness, everything, plenteous in mercy. My soul, my concerning the hope in gracious experience you may have had in the salvation of the Lord, still the same, plenteous in mercy. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Plenteous in mercy. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Niall, I know you know the answer. You're going to say, I'm weary of this. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, but he passes me by. Plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. Friend, a covenant mercy. Eternal mercy. Not just mercy now, but mercy ahead. Friend, and mercy to the end of the journey. Through death. Oh, to know that victory that the apostle so speaks of. You know, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. Us, through our Lord Jesus Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, the conquest over guilt in the heart, the shame. None can put it away. Jesus' precious blood, Jesus revealing himself, Jesus known, Jesus made precious to your soul in whatever way he's been fit to do it. We often make mistakes in trying to compare experience with others. And we immediately fall down and think, well, I haven't got what they've had and so forth. Friend, did it lead you to the Lord Jesus? Has it humbled you? Has it made you need him and weep after him? Has he been made precious to your soul? Are you relying upon him? Is he leading you? Has he changed your life? That's the point. The trouble is, we get proud about it. We hear it. People are proud about their experience and boast about it. It's a snare and it's a shame on us. We should be looking to Christ personally. By their fruits you shall know them. Are you a broken-hearted soul? Death is swallowed up in victory. Or to know the dear Redeemer. Or to have him with us. Or to feel him near. Or to know the realities. These appear to your soul. Plenteous in mercy. Today, tomorrow, next week, to the end of the journey. Spiritually, providentially, plenteous in mercy. Who healeth all thy diseases, forgiveth all thy sins. It says here, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. How low the gospel comes. How low it comes. To all that call upon him. Plenteous in mercy to all that call upon him. Friend, you worry, am I calling upon him in truth? If you know anything about your nature as revealed, you'll realize that in your heart dwelleth no good thing. And you worry, am I calling upon him in truth? Are you calling upon his precious blood? Are you calling upon his great name? With nothing in your hand, nothing of your own, nothing to plead. Only the fullness of Christ to plead to all that call upon him. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It is a precious word, you know, we have in the Hebrews. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have one full of compassion and truth, understanding your case. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly unto the throne of grace. Friend, you've got nothing to bring. It's pleading the blood upon the throne of grace. When the high priest went into the holiest, the feast of, or the day of atonement, the feast of expiation, he went in and sprinkled the blood before the mercy seat to ward it and upon it. And he went in twice. First for himself, then for the people. Went in with nothing. You come with nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. Plead his promise, plead his word, plead his name, humbly though. Humbly, humbly. Desiring to fall into his hands to commit your way. Desiring to be nothing. He to be the heavenly potter, you to be the clay, to be formed to a vessel of honour. Falling into his hands, he knows you cannot submit to his will. Someone struggling this morning, are they, to submit to the Lord's will? He knows you cannot fall into his hands and submit to his will, but he gives the grace. Lay it out before him. He's full of compassion. I've often proven I've been submissive. The Lord has answered what I needed. But that's here and there. May you prove the same. And I need to prove it again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. David's psalm is beautiful, isn't it? I perhaps ought to spend more time in the psalm itself. You know, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Draw my affections. Look, bring everything in, Lord. Unite it for thy honour and glory. Unite my heart to feel that. Let it not be divided. Let it not be a divided heart. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Where I leave it now. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I love that word, return unto me. Return unto me, for I, Jesus speaks, I have redeemed thee. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £695, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock, and Mr. Jonathan Buss is again expected to preach next Lord's Day and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the collections today are for the Christian Institute. Let us close with hymn 1026. Not one of Adam's race, but is by sin undone, deep sunk in foul disgrace, and righteousness has none. And this, when brought through grace to know, will sink the sinner very low. 1026.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion, unction, love of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each now, forever. Amen.